Are you Fast Eddie?
I hope so. I've been carrying that for 30 years now.
Carrying is the right word. Anyway, I'm Digital Dave.
And I am Fast Eddie here.
And joining us, Eddie?
Well, I'll tell you, we've got... She's back for a second appearance. It's Megan Just Pictures.
Well, she never talks, though, but no. More importantly...
But she stands in the corner and smiles.
She brought co-workers.
Yes, she brought people with last names.
We've it's got a seniority thing.
We've got Marcus Miller and Jesse Strickland, and they're going to show us how not to be scared of ATC.
I'm thinking right now that it's probably a good thing there's no video feed. Because the pilots would not, the armored helmet there, the crash helmet just says it all.
I was going to say, how many people are brave enough to wear a propeller beanie?
A beanie, yes. Do you wear that on shift?
Sometimes. I work at Houston Center, and so it's a dark, windowless environment talking to voices in my head. But I like to think that how I dress kind of affects how I talk with pilots. And you know, if you're happy at doing your job, then you're hopefully the pilots can hear that and they'll reciprocate that.
Okay. Hey, I can just see that. Oh, you're crashing. That's great.
Hello, man.
The thing of it being is, those of you who are watching us on radio, you should look into your radio hard, because the vest that he is wearing, it's a yellow vest and it is just covered with pins. The thing's got to have 20 pounds of pins on it.
The vest is on the TSA pre-check list.
Yeah, I did get stopped on my way up here. They were opening my bag and they're like, is there anything in here that can poke me or prick me? And I was like, yes, there is.
There's a lot in
there's
there.
There's a lot.
Where would you like to start?
Right?
All right, so how not to be afraid of air traffic control?
I think one of the easiest things is to realize that we're also human, right? We may have some robotic voices. We may be, you know, a little bit intimidating whenever we're giving you instructions, but ultimately, it's a service industry, right? We're here to provide a service to pilots, and hopefully they understand that and they know that they can trust us to get them from point A to point B safely. And I think that that's ultimately what we're doing here. We're doing pilot outreach. We're saying, hey, we're humans just like you. Here's the services that we can provide, and here's how we can help you be safe, pretty much. Be better users of the National Airspace System.
You know, I've always wondered, does a pilot's ego play into this? You know, look at me, I'm a big bad pilot. I don't need any assistance. And then all of a sudden, they get into trouble, and they're not calling you because of that ego.
You know, it definitely maybe plays a part. Those hazardous attitudes are definitely something that every pilot needs to be aware of. And ultimately, you need to recognize that and be like, oh man, I'm in a problem. And there are people out there who are ready to help you and willing to help you, because that's ultimately one of the big reasons why we get paid, to assist pilots in times of duress and in times of distress.
And we don't have to give them a credit card number or anything.
Don't have to, no.
That's exactly. Totally free.
That's right. It's free.
Have you ever had someone call in and just say, can you kind of help me? I'm lost.
Oh, yeah. All the time. You know, it's all about how pilots talk on the radio as well. If you're sounding a little unsure, if you're sounding like you are in a distress situation, we're going to recognize that. And that's all we do all day, is talk to pilots. So we can tell if somebody's a little nervous or if somebody is having a problem, and then we'll adjust how we react accordingly, right? If you're having a problem and you're, oh my gosh, my engine's running rough or something, even if you don't say, I think this is an emergency, we're probably going to start treating you like an emergency. We're going to give you that expeditious handling. We're going to start saying, hey, here's an airport over here. Here's an airport over here. What do you need from us? How can we help you?
And a gallon of gas might be good.
Right? Right? Here's an airport that has fuel services. Here's a lighted airport. Here's a paved airport or you know, just something that's long enough that you can land, right? And I think having pilots know that and that awareness that air traffic control can assist you additionally than just watching you from point A to point B is, I think, something that pilots need to remember. And sometimes it's hard to remember whenever they're in that situation, right?
It's interesting, because I can remember talking to old-timers, and this was a while back, who, I don't want any of that crap. I just want to fly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want a radio. I don't want an electrical system. Yep. I just want to fly. Do you still run into pilots that are reluctant because they just feel you're an intrusion?
You know, I don't know if you want to take this. I've been doing a lot of talking, but...
No, you're doing a great job. But yeah, I mean, there's pilots, they don't want to talk to us because they're afraid we're going to give them maybe a restriction, an altitude restriction, or a heading, or to go around, like, say, Bravo airspace. And they don't want that. They want to just go as on course as possible. And we're trying to get the information out there that we do, we might restrict you, you might have to fly a little bit airway, but it's for safety. And that's the reason we do things. We don't do anything for fun. We don't restrict you or turn you because we want to. We just do it for safety.
So, ultimately, so we want to get you from point A to point B across our scope as fast as possible, right?
Right. So sure, one controller's never leaned over to another controller and said, hey, watch this, man. I want to send this guy around the mountain.
No. No. And remember, air traffic control's three main priorities are safe, orderly, and expeditious flow of air traffic, right? Safe is number one. So as long as we're safe, orderly and expeditious comes in second, right? Orderly, get them in a line, and then expeditious, right? So is it safe to fly, you know, right across an arrival stream with a bunch of big jets? You're at like 11.5, and they're all descending to 12 on top of you, descending via, right? So they have a window to hit. I'm probably going to vector you away from that because it's not safe, right? Even if you are VFR, and really our separation there is as long as the paint doesn't touch or you know, trade paint. But I don't like that. I don't like putting pilots in that situation, you know, a little 5-degree right, 10-degree right, get around that area, and then, you know, safe. It's safe. May not be the most expeditious thing for you, but for us it is because now the airliners aren't having TCAS RAs, you know, and
they're happy.
Things beyond, and they're happy, and we're happy, and y'all are hopefully happy, you know, a little bit more extra gas, but it is what it is. I'd rather have use a little bit more extra gas and get where I'm going safely than the alternative, right?
Yeah, you know, you said you work Houston, which is, again, that's got to be considered crowded skies.
A lot of crowded skies. Yeah, yeah, my airspace is like southeast Houston over Beaumont, Lake Charles, and Lafayette, Louisiana.
Okay. That's a pretty big area.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure that weather in that area plays a big factor in how you're vectoring people
around. They vector
around
the storms around the airports. Yeah,
yeah. No,
yeah, I wish we could.
They didn't last night, that's for sure.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I go in every morning. I walk by our traffic management unit. I'm like, hey, can we turn off the weather generators, please? Yeah. Like, this is, if I have to say precipitation one more time, it's such a tongue twister, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Just do what I would do. Hey, it's going to rain.
It's going to rain. You got weather in front of you, you know? From here to Florida.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Greg, good news. There's no weather today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we turned it off. We're saving
That's
it
right.
for the weekend.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Saving it for the amateurs.
I've been a safety pilot on several flights with a charter pilot friend of mine, and we were in a situation where we started to pick up ice, and ATC was very...
No beer, just the ice?
No beer, just the ice. I hate when that happens. And they were very accommodating. We asked them if we could climb out of this, and they said, we can't unless you take a turn 20 degrees to the left. Mm-hmm. And my charter pilot buddy said, yeah, we'll go 20 degrees to the left. We'll mm-hmm. take the turn. And we took the turn, and we were able to climb out of the weather, and everybody was fat and happy.
Yeah.
Do you guys still offer, like, student pilot tours of the tower? Things like that?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
So that's something, I think that's something every pilot should do just once.
100%, yeah. Definitely. Because it's so mysterious behind this radio, you know? Your pilots, you fly, a lot of controllers aren't pilots either. And so going into the FAM flights were really, really cool because you could observe flight deck operations. It goes the same way. Come to see a center or a tower or an approach control and see what we're dealing with, right? There's so much more behind the scenes, and you know, I like to say that en route air traffic control is basically just a data entry position because we're doing so much typing, so much, you know, LOA compliance and SOP compliance that pilots really don't get a picture of, or it's such behind the scenes. And so being able to come to either like the facility where your airport is at or, you know, something like that, that will give you a better idea and a better situation awareness of how do I fit in as a pilot within the greater scheme of the National Airspace System, right? Yeah, so like the icing, we love negotiating with pilots too. If I can't give you something, maybe I'll give you an alternative. Or if you need something, let us know what you need, right? It's a service industry. You know, you go to Chick-fil-A, can I get a large Coke? We're actually out of large cups. Okay, I can give you two medium cups though. You know, something like that.
You're ready to wheel and deal then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we needed wheeling and dealing because picking up ice is not good at all.
It's not good.
It's very dangerous.
But when the controller comes back and says, hey, keep quiet, everybody will want some.
As long as you don't have Adas whiskey, you know, you got to keep going.
I was going to say, we're not serving margaritas on this flight. Get us out of here.
That's the problem. Now that's a de-icing system.
That's awesome.
Not so much for the plane, but for the pilot.
Right, yeah. After he gets on the ground after all that ice, yeah, he's going to need a margarita. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was in Leesburg Center in Virginia just before 9/11, and I was surprised at the number of displays and the number of people
and
working
blinking,
in there.
Blinking, beeping, flashing
and
lights.
It was also very dark. I'm sitting there thinking, my God, these people are working in a cave.
Yeah,
they had giant eyes.
But yet, you know, nobody was running around going, oh, crap, look at this, you know.
What do you do with a pilot that you're trying to give instructions to and he just refuses to comply?
That's a great question. It really depends on what the instruction is. There's a lot of, you know, if this, then that. But we had a pilot climbing out of Houston. He needed to go right for weather. He was like, I have to go right. The right would put him in the arrivals. There's nothing we can do. Our hands are tied there. And so we're like, okay, you can either turn left as far as you need or declare an emergency and go right. Right? Those are your two options here. Because the weather is just so dynamic and so fast-paced. He turned left, like, I don't know, 90, 120 degrees, and it worked out. But he was very, very adamant, I need to go right. I need to go right. I can't go right. Otherwise, you're going to hit somebody. Right. So sometimes our hands are tied. If that is the case, like, don't be scared to declare an emergency because that kind of frees us up.
That's not like abuse of the system?
No. And you can always cancel an emergency, too, right?
Okay.
Now, you may get some questions. You may be like, hey, why did you do that? But it's never going to be like, rah, 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 all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, you know, just thinking about that. Well, anyway, we have to go.
I'm being just let me get into it.
All right. I want to thank you guys. We've been speaking with Marcus
Miller, Jesse Strickland, Marcus. And Megan Just Pictures.
Megan Just Pictures, the ever lovely. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.